Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, this past week, has it not been a hot heat wave in the midst of Iowa? Of course, in different parts of Iowa, the rain came down, very much needed, but in certain sections, it didn't. And up in my area, we sure desperately need rain up in the around the new Sharon area. But again, we just wait for the rain and it will come, and in God's hands we give it to him, but we will trust him, and hopefully we will see some, maybe possibly even today yet, but we'll just see how what the Lord does and go from there. But also too, maybe you're traveling down the highway down to and headed to a direction, and you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM. We just want to thank you for being part of our Sunday morning time along with KBOE. And I hope that is, if you tuned in today, that you're wondering what is going to go on here. We're just going to really get an opportunity to speak the word and ask the Lord to help us and give us a word of encouragement. So I hope you stay with us this morning as you're traveling today for whatever destination you're going. Also, too, many of you are on your way to church this morning. I want to thank you for being part of Vital Ministries. As you head to your church, I just pray that the Lord goes before you and his presence is upon you as you go to church. And also, too, those of you at home listening, thank you so much. It's this past week we had an opportunity. Miss Diane, she stopped by, and she's just a great lady. Just appreciate her so much. And she stopped by, and she gave us a donation. It's just the kindness of her heart, and we were blessed by it. But one of the things that she really talked about was that she goes over, not only she's a woman that on the farm, and she raises some cattle and whatnot. But she was telling me about, she's over around the Deep River area, and she's selling flowers for James Greenhouse. And folks, I know, if you know Miss Diane, if you get a chance to go over there and just say hello and maybe pick out a flower or something like that, I know she would greatly appreciate that. And this lady's just really, really tender to our hearts, and I just want to thank you so much for her friendship and our relationship as well. But I really appreciate all those stories that come along, and we hear about those things, and people who tell us about, they've listened, they've been impacted. And just want to thank you so much for being a part of that, as being part of your Sunday. But as we get some of event that's coming up, July 10th, it's amazing that this month is all but over. July 10th, Vital Gathering at Debbie's Celebration Barn is coming, and mark that down on your calendar. It's hard to believe that's literally just 2 weeks away. And it's hard to believe that next weekend will be the 4th of July weekend, and the following weekend will be the 10th, which is a Sunday at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Come at 5 o'clock. We're going to have special food for you, so you're going to have a great time with your family. Also, too, we'll have worship music. The Vital Ministries Band will be there. Just some great stuff that's going to be happening. You don't want to miss out on that at all. And also, too, we have a word that will be given to us. And also, too, we're going to have a special guy that's going to come talk about healing. He's got the gift of healing. So maybe there's some things in your own life that you would like to be, that you need a special touch, that you might need healing on in your own life. It will be an impactful evening, and we're going to trust the Holy Spirit as he shows us and directs us on that night. So again, July 10th, Debbie Celebration Barn, Vital Gathering will be back, and we're excited about that, so don't miss out. Also, too, just a reminder, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. And you can go to the Vital Ministries webpage, check that out. We got for men, we send out those devotionals 5 days a week. Also, too, for Vital Life, my wife writes for that, 6 days a week. You can get that, just that, oh, that nugget, just that good stuff. So I just encourage you, can go to vitalministries.org, check it out, and get on the webpage and see what there is and how that can apply and be an encouragement to your life. With that being said, we're going to start this morning and be a part of our teaching. Are you a cave dwelling, or are you kingdom building? You know, I kind of like that phrase. It's a little bit, it's kind of what I would call that little bit of that Missourian lingo or Missouri type things. But I just like those things. And sometimes it just hits, because I think, folks, we do one of the two things. We either are cave dwelling in our lives, or we're kingdom building. And it just, it's just a good thing to make sure that we're doing one or the other. And we're going to look at David's life. We're going to get a glimpse of a portion of why that would be his cave dwelling experience in his own life. But before we jump in there, I want to share a brief story. We talked about this Last week, I had the opportunity. I spoke at Lighthouse Church in New Sharon, Iowa. Pastor Eric Sneed is the pastor. Matter of fact, if you're looking for a spirit-filled, truth and spirit church, I want to recommend that Lighthouse Church is amazing. It's in New Sharon, Iowa. Pastor Eric is just an incredible pastor. He loves his people well. And if you're looking for a church in this area, I highly recommend. Eric just does a really, really good job. So you don't want to miss out on that as well. But also, too, a story. This is clear back in 1993. As I think about success and kingdom dwelling and building and cave dwelling. And one of the things, I'll never forget this, was 1993, my first Promise Keepers I'd ever went to. And it was just, it was impactful. Matter of fact, I would say it was a point in my life of a change, and where the Lord met me, the Holy Spirit really spoke to my heart. And I'll never forget this, John Maxwell. It was early of a morning, and we were at Colorado Buffalo's stadium, and it was amazing. It was just filled with men. I think 65,000-70,000 men were there. And if you've ever heard John Maxwell speak, he is a profound speaker. He just has a way of saying things and just a great man of God and gives great instruction. Well, I'll never forget this. He talked about talking to men. And then he says, men, do you want to know what true success is? And I tell you what, in that stadium, you could have heard a pin drop. Men were listening. They were holding on to every word that John Maxwell spoke. And he said this, men, if you really want to know what success is about what your wife says about you and your children. Are they seeing you lead them in the way of the Lord? Men, that is no greater success if you can have your wife and your children speak about you in such a way that you are being the man of God that God has called you to be. And I'll never forget that in my life. And I remember men were just, they were sobbing, weeping, just were impacted by that, and also too strengthened by it. Yeah, you know, as men, we have those things that we deal with. And he just was encouraging about how to help us to go into the next stage of our life and understanding what it was about to be having true success. But today we're going to talk about, again, David and look at his success and his moments. But before we jump into that this morning, I'm going to give just a brief history about David that's going to kind of help us get a brief understanding, a little bit about his life, and also, too, about what it means to be, are you cave dwelling or kingdom building? First, we see David being anointed as king in 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 13. Samuel the prophet comes to Jesse's house wanting to see the men of God in Jesse's house. Those were going to be the king. And he goes through, and Jesse brings all of his sons, five of them. But then none of them were right. So Samuel asked the question, is there another one? He says, yes, I have a son, David, who's out tending the sheep. And by that age, David was only 10 to 15 years old, and Samuel anoints him as being the next king of Israel, although Saul was currently the king. So then we speed up a little bit. Then we go to 1 Samuel 17, where David kills Goliath. He kills him somewhere between the ages of 16 and 19. But the reason why he wasn't part of the Lord's army is because, generally speaking, Israel would not allow the men to serve until they were 20 years old. So that tells us that David was a teenager when he killed Goliath. David doesn't become king until he's 30 years old. We find that in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. David becomes king at the age of approximately 30 years old. So he goes through a span of time. We're going to see David's 10-year wilderness experience, the very beginning of it, before he truly becomes king. Now, David, he reigns for a period of 40 years and lives to be approximately 70 to 71 years old. It says in 1 Kings chapter 2:10 that King David died. And David was considered a good king of Israel. It was said about his life that there was no man that chased after God or had the heart for God himself, no greater than David himself. So that's part of the thing, I think, as people of God, that we should always be chasing after the heart of God. And I think that's kind of speak in and help us this morning as we come up with our first point is this. Point number one, help from the priest. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 21 and read verses 1 through 9 this morning as we begin and see what the word of the Lord says to us. And we're going to kind of break that down and help it to understand and how does it apply even today. It says that David went to the town of Nob to see Amalek the priest. Now Amalek trembled when he saw him. "Why are you alone?" he asked. "Why is no one with you?" "The king has sent me out as a private matter," David said. "He told me not to tell anyone why I am here, and I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you may have." The priest says, "We don't have any regular bread, but there is holy bread, which you can have, and your young men, have they not slept with women recently?" David says, "Don't worry about that. I never allow my men to be with women when we are on campaign. And since they stay clean, even on ordinary trips, how much more is this one?" Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. David asked Amalek, "Do you have a spear or a sword?" The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. "I only have the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah," the priest responded. "It is wrapped in cloth and behind the ephod. Take that if you want it for yourself, because there is nothing else here." David says this, "There is nothing like it. Give it to me." So he takes it. So now, as we look at that, we see some interesting things as we go on this portion of Scripture. First, we see that David goes to the priest. And this is really important as we look for this first point of help. See, David, he trusts God's servant leaders. He goes to the priest. He goes to the man of God because he has favor and has been in the presence of God. And he also trusted prophets like Samuel, and he trusted Amalek because Amalek was a priest. He could trust them. He knew that God spoke through these men, and he knows that God would speak through them because he knew that they were anointed by him. Now, that's really, really important because David is really, at this point, is beginning for the next 10 years to go into his 10-year wilderness campaign as he runs for his life, for the most part, from King Saul. Now, I think this is important. I think it's important because I think people today are not running to the church, that they're literally running from the church, and they don't trust the people of God who are in the church. See, one thing that I really think that's happened in the last few years, and we blame this a lot on COVID, but in my mind, it was a brilliant thing that the enemy could do and has created on our planet, was to create a COVID. And because of that, the people of the church, and including some, I'd say a majority of the pastors, became weak and also too became afraid instead of holding to the ground and trusting God. So what happens? They close the church. So what happens to the people of the church? They exit. And I don't know about you, but I found out it was easy for the next 2 years because of what had happened in the church. It was simply easy to stay home. It became easier to stay home and do what you normally do. You could watch some of the best preachers, the best sermons that could ever be done in front of your TV and watch it on a Sunday morning. The problem is, folks, is what happens is we've continued to do that, but the issue even greater is that we no longer have relationship with people in the church, and the enemy has taken advantage of that. And what happens, folks, is when people don't go back to church and when our churches have become more and more empty, it creates weakness within the church itself. And I think that's important as we look for David in his life. He goes and looks for the priest. He goes back to tabernacle. He goes to the presence of God himself because he believes, he trusts in the word of God that could be spoken. And I think that's important for us today to realize that God has anointed men and women in the pulpit today that speak to us, that gives us a word from the Lord, and helps us all to gather together in the word of Lord. And it's important because there's just something about gathering. There's something about going to church and meeting other people and just hanging out and talking because we don't have community. And I think what happens to that, folks, is when we quit going to church, the greatest thing that gets attacked by that is the family. And because of that, our family is eroding and deteriorating within our nation. So folks, hear me on this. David's first point was help from the priest. He goes back to the to tabernacle. Folks, if you're really looking for the hope and really looking for encouragement, a good place to begin is the church. It's a place to where we get encouragement from hearing the word of God. And from hearing, we begin to know and we begin to understand and we begin to live it. And that's the key, which brings us to point number two is this. Point number two is hanging with the enemy. And we're going to see what David does as he goes out and hangs with the enemy. It says this starting with verse 10. It says, so David escaped from Saul and went to the king of Achish of Gath. But the officers of Achish were unhappy about him being there. Isn't this David, the king of the land, they asked? Isn't this the one that people honor with dances and singing, saying that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? David heard these comments and was very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. So he pretended to be insane, scratching on the doors and drooling down his beard. Finally, the king Achish said to his men, must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest? See, David, it's interesting that David runs back to the very place of the enemy itself, which is Gath. Gath is approximately 20 miles trek south from Jerusalem. He goes and runs to the enemy. See, David has fear of King Saul so much that it overrides his faith in the fear of the Lord. And that's important for us to realize today. We can allow fear of other things or man himself to override the faith that we have in the Lord himself. And that is key, especially in times like this, especially when we're seeing so many dramatic things happening, not only within our nation, but also around the world. Without a doubt, we're all taking crunches in the wallet due to the fact of so many things that's going on, from gasoline to food to prices of things. Simply, a lot of things we're being price gouged with. But where is our faith? We're having that overcome with fear as opposed to trusting the Lord and that he's got it. But here's another thing that we find interesting in the story. Gath is the capital of the Philistines. King Achish himself resides in Gath, the city. So, and also too, here's another interesting thing that's important to realize this morning is, it's also the hometown of Goliath. Goliath, who is now killed by David, lives there. And not only that, the Philistine army resides there. So in my mind, why was David in his right mind running to the camp and hanging with the enemy? It says that the Philistines themselves even know that David will become king of Israel and he will eventually be coming after them. But we see such craziness that's going on in this portion. We see David getting fearful, having acts of acting like a madman. But yet, in the midst of all the craziness, we see the favor of the Lord upon King David's life. And that's what happens when you have favor from the Lord and God's anointing. And even in the midst of your fears, that God is with you, even in the midst of enemy camp. And folks, we without a doubt have the enemy camp surrounding us with so many things that are going on within our nation itself. Coming against Christianity, coming against the church, just so many things that are happening. It is important for us today to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And as I see so many people losing hope, they're walking in fear. They're allowing the enemy, hanging with the enemy, allowing them to have fear in their lives instead of trusting what the Lord has and what God has for our lives. that fear comes against us and we literally start hanging in the enemy's camp. And I don't for a minute believe that's what God wants and has ordained for our lives. Which brings us to point number three, anointed by God, but favored by men. And we're going to continue the story in chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2. It says this, so David left Gath, escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon at the cave, his brothers and all of his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were troubled or in debt or were discontented, until David, the captain of the 400 men. Now this is amazing. Now bear in mind, King Saul himself has a minimum of an army of 3,000 men. So this is important. So again, David goes back into the cave of Adullam. Adullam at the cave is approximately 15 miles, not far from Bethlehem. It's a place where David knew how to hang out. Dave, this was familiar territory. So what does David do? He runs. He doesn't know what to do, so he begins going into the cave dwelling, which will eventually make him go into kingdom building. See, this is interesting. When he goes and runs to the cave, who shows up? First of all, we see David's brother showing up, family. Man, how about you? But sometimes hanging around family isn't necessarily always good. But now David's brothers had left King Saul's army and followed him. The same guys that sneered him against fighting going against the Philistine giant Goliath and making fun of him and telling him he couldn't. Now they're joining him in the cave. Now here's another interesting thing. Who's there? Family members are showing up. Other men who are related to King David are also now in the cave with him. Now, I'm sure David is thinking in his mind, you know what, I just came here to be by myself in this cave, and now look at all these people showing up. Who shows up next? Men who are in trouble. I don't know about you, but we live in a time in presence of what is going on. We have a lot of people who are discouraged and in trouble. Not only that, who else shows up? Men who are in debt. Man, I don't know about you, but debt is flourishing in our nation. People with credit cards and things in debt and have gotten overwhelmed and gotten overtaken by spending too much, and all of a sudden, same thing's happening. They're finding men in debt. And also, too, who else shows up in the debt in the cave is men who are discontented. Holy cow, can you not see? Think it with me for a minute this morning of how many people are discontented in where and how things are going within our nation. I tell you what, we struggle with the leadership at the very top, who's probably in my mind, and I'm just going to say it, probably the one of the weakest leaders that we've ever had in our nation. And who is not discontent in it? But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, because remember, folks, God places good leaders and he places bad leaders for us to come back to him. So without a doubt, who's in the White House right now could only have been had it not been ordained by God himself. And I think it's bringing us back, folks, to look our eyes on Jesus and not look onto a president where we put too much investment in and too much trust in, because only Jesus is the one who can save us. And another thing that's really important that I think in David's life, as we look at that, is he gets this anointing and things. And I think so much this kind of applies to us today, is I think for people who are looking in the same situation, I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And Paul reads these words and he says this, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you are wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy. When God called you, instead, God chose the things in the world that consider to be foolish in order to shame those things that are wise, and the things that are powerless to shame those things are powerful. God chose the despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing what the world would consider important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. See, God works in the midst of the weaknesses of your life. He brings you to a place of anointing. He brings you in the place where he brings you from cave dwelling to kingdom building. And that's exactly what was going on in David's life. God was going to show something to David in the next 10 years in his wilderness time. And we find some of the best psalms that were written by King David was during his wilderness encounter, because he kept his eyes and kept his focus on Jesus Christ. And I think that's important for us today to realize the same thing. So many things are going around in this world. Where are you looking for hope from? Are you looking at for one man who's going to lead in the midst of a nation? I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, folks, and on Him is where we're going to find joy, and that is the place that God is going to come, and the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to come and show itself in our lives. Where are you looking? Are you cave dwelling or are you kingdom building? Folks, you are doing one or the other in your life. Which will it be for you today? Do you choose to stay in the cave and dwell? Or do you choose to allow your wilderness experience that God will use it and make you a kingdom builder and make you stronger from it? I don't know about you folks, but what gets steel stronger is fire. To get that tensile strength to make it stronger is fire. If you want the strength of the Lord, folks, it's going to take fire. So I hope today, as you look back in your life, yes, sometimes we have cave dwelling that happens. Sometimes it creates a wilderness experience. But folks, I believe out of that can come kingdom building in your life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you. Jesus, please forgive us for getting our eyes on one leader. No one person can change the course of America. Only by humility and coming to you and confessing sin, Jesus, that will bring back, because we know that from Scripture, that's what will turn a nation. Not a person, but the people of God. And Lord, I just pray that we cry out and you hear our voice today. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Although there's times in our lives we have cave dwelling going on, but like King David, you met him there. You anointed him. Lord, I pray that maybe somebody this morning that needs that special anointing, I pray that you would encourage them. Help them to know that you are the hope. You are the joy. You are the one that we keep our eyes on, Jesus. You did the supreme sacrifice on a cross for our sins. And with that being said, we praise you, we honor you, and we love you, Jesus. And we pray in your precious name. Amen. Folks, I'm excited to be with you this morning. Which are you doing? Cave dwelling or kingdom building? This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.